Hi, and welcome to the podcast, Aligned with Paige Schmidt, helping you to become the you you want to be and feel calm while becoming her.
Hello, welcome to another podcast episode. I am so excited for this one because today I am bringing on my first guest. My first guest is Linda Hale. And Linda and I have known each other since about 2010. We met through our church, Reality in Ventura. At least that was our church then. And Linda, for me, was such a mentor. And she was the woman who you may have heard me talk about either on the blog or other podcasts. She was the woman who inspired me most with food and my relationship with food and knowing, seeing by example that there is a way to nourish my body and care for her and slow down, have a calm relationship with food, feel good in my body. Without, as Linda says in the podcast, being neurotic about it, without feeling crazy. So as I say, feeling calm, not crazy around food. Linda so emulated that for me, and I was able to see it in another woman who I knew by watching her was so clearly living a life that was aligned with who she wanted to be and her values. And as you'll hear me talk about in the episode, a woman who just seems to make everything around her so special. So I had so much fun recording this episode and talking with Linda, and I know you will love it too. Fun fact, if you have followed me since the days of Healthy Hits the Spot and where I used to share daily eats all the time and I'd share 110 photos of just my breakfast, I wanted you to know that almost all of the napkins in my photos, all of the colored napkins, came from Linda passing those down from me. So special. She has done so much for me over the years, and I couldn't wait to share her with you. What inspires me most about Linda is that she truly lives a life that feels aligned for her, as you'll hear in the episode. She does not have trouble saying no or setting a necessary boundary or asking for help. She eats in a way that feels good for her. She seeks out nourishment for her body and always keeps the flavor amazing in everything that she eats. She also makes what she eats look beautiful. It just seems like as you watch her live her life, most of the things that she does are either a gift to herself or others around her. And I am just so in awe of that. I love that. She is aware of what leaves her body feeling good and she lives it out. She truly does not worry about what other people will say or what they think about the way she eats. She just stays in her own lane and does what feels good for her. She is calm around food. In fact, I think it's safe to say she is the person in my life who truly is the most calm around food. I admire her so much in the way she nourishes herself and those around her. I also admire her for the many ways that she has challenged me and others over the years. We'll share some of those lessons and challenges that she's given to me over the years in this episode. She has poured so much into me, and I can truly say that the lessons she's taught me have changed my life. When I read a book today and it starts to talk about mentorship, Linda is the very first person that comes to my mind. I am forever grateful for her and so happy that I get to share her with you today. I hope you enjoy this episode. Linda, I wanted to interview you because you have inspired me for so many years. And I told you, but I've actually talked about you on a few podcasts that I was interviewed on as being the woman who inspired me so, so much in my own relationship with food.
So when you and I met, I had just found God and I was at a pivotal point in my own journey, especially around food in my body. And I remember watching you with food and just being so, so in awe. Actually, before we met, I just knew you as the woman who brought really, really good food. I think you had some sort of special cookie too, who brought really good food into the church kitchen. It was like anytime you brought food, everybody would say, "Hey, Linda brought food. Linda has food in the church kitchen."
Yeah, that's been happening for a long time. And every time I would go to a potluck, people would say, "What did you bring? I want to be there."
Yes. Yes, exactly. But even beyond that, as I watched you in your relationship with food, I noticed so many things that I appreciated. So a couple of memories I have were of you appreciating ingredients and always teaching me about ingredients. You would have me hold them and smell them. You always used so much good flavor. Like I remember when you would make a cappuccino, you'd put a sugar cube in it. And that was something at the time that I did not allow myself to do. And so I would just see small things like that, or see you using real butter and think to myself, oh my gosh, I can be healthy and have a good relationship with food and food can still taste good.
That was the way that I was raised. And I was just thinking about this a few minutes ago about how when I was raised, I mean, I did have a mother that really taught us the value of enjoying food for both its nourishment, which is really important. You know, she would say, you know, this parsley is just filled with minerals and really good for you. And I thought, oh, I want to be healthy. And so I'm going to enjoy that or I'm going to like that. What I was thinking about earlier was that it was at a time where there was not this neurotic thinking around food. People just pretty much ate food. Some of us enjoyed it more than others, but I guess mainly I'm really grateful to my mom who taught us to enjoy food for its nutrition and its enjoyment.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What was that like for you when you were a mom with young kids?
Yeah, it's much crazier when there's young kids, for sure.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine not making lunch and dinner every single day. I mean, even if I'm traveling, if I'm going out for the day, I will always just pack a lunch because I don't want to be out somewhere and so hungry. And then I'm not going to drive through. One thing is I just don't really like fast food. I like healthy, good food. So even with the young kids, we would eat, you know, I would prepare something for them that they could eat. And sometimes it was separate. I mean, I didn't make separate meals for the kids, but I taught them to learn to eat healthy. And I will say that both of them are very healthy eaters as adults. And so, I mean, it wasn't that we didn't have our food battles. We did, you know, but I always wanted to introduce the aspect of eating healthy food. And so it's, you know, it gets more crazy. We have a 2-year-old visiting right now and, you know, he spills milk and water at every meal. And Scott and I will look at each other and go, oh gosh, we remember this, you know, so, but still, it's just being very conscious, making conscious choices. You'll probably hear me say this a lot because it's what I'm really focused on a lot is being conscious of my choices, conscious of my thinking. And so I just made a conscious choice that we as a family would eat together and we would eat healthy food. And I knew there was going to be some battles, but and you have to be somewhat flexible. I mean, I remember growing up that what Bo said to me, or Joaquin said to me, gosh, everybody else gets to stay surfing in the water till it gets dark, but I have to come home for dinner. I go, yeah, that's just how it is in our family.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so great. Can you define for you, what does healthy food mean for you?
Not processed, for one. I eat very little processed food. Something like cheese has obviously been processed. So, but healthy food would be as things as close to their source as possible. So it means a lot of vegetables, and it means foods that are just not really highly processed or greasy, or I love to eat food that just feels clean and clear and good. And it's not that I don't ever eat popcorn in a bag, or, you know, Scott's always has so many snacks like that. And I will, you know, it's not that I'm not neurotic about it, but for me, if I have the choice of eating something really healthy, salads and vegetables and kind of lean food, I just, that's what's most appealing to me, because I know that that's what's best for my body.
I love that. Can you tell me a little bit, talk a little bit more about your approach with just your own health and making choices that are the best for your body?
Yeah, this is a good question, because, you know, I can see where people would feel, oh, I'm overwhelmed. Yeah, I want to eat healthy food, but I have 4 young kids and, you know, I just don't have time. By the time everyone's hungry, I don't have time to really be thinking about it. So I mean, time to, you know, prepare a healthy meal, that just seems way out of the ballpark. So what it requires is a lot of preparation ahead of time. Like, I always said, now you can buy greens that are, you know, already prepared, so you can just grab, you know, spring mix and different salad things that are already done. But at the time when I had young family, we didn't have that. So I always had lettuce prepared in the refrigerator, because, you know, if I want to make a salad and I just have a head of lettuce in there, I'm going, oh no, I'm tired. I don't want to do that. And so yeah. I would just say, you know, in a word, I would say preparation, really thinking about, I've never been one to, I have friends that have planned their meals and they know what they're doing all the time. That's just not my personality, but I do really like to have things in the refrigerator where something can be made easily for lunch, or and leftovers. Scott and I love leftovers. I always talk about repurposing them, you know, repurpose leftovers into something wonderful. So I think preparation, I know preparation is a big key, you know, just shopping so that you have things that you can make fairly easily. You know, everything doesn't have to be a big gourmet meal. I like food to be pretty simple, actually, because it seems to be the less ingredients in it, the healthier it is. So, but I mean, we eat beautiful meals every single day. I will tell you that sometimes that I sit down at the table, I just go, oh my gosh, this looks so delicious.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And it's so fun. It makes it so fun. I used to always love when I got to see you guys more eating at your house, because I knew everything was going to be so pretty and special.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I mean, I know that I do that, whether I do that for myself, if I'm the only one in the house, I would say to my sister, oh gosh, Scott is gone for the week, or, you know, he's gone tonight. I'm going to see what amazing thing I can make for myself for dinner tonight, because I just want to enjoy it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so, so good.
And this is just my personality. I know it's a high mark. I don't expect everybody to think like that. But I know a lot of people would say, oh yeah, when my husband goes out of town, I just eat cereal. which is, you know, I don't have any judgment on that. I'm just saying it's just me. I really enjoy food. I just like to have a beautiful plate of food in front of me to enjoy and to eat.
Yes. What would you say that it does for you to have beautiful plates of food and to do that for yourself? Like, what does that give to you?
Well, one, I appreciate, I can appreciate myself. Actually, I appreciate that I am able to make this kind of food, that I have the resources to have this kind of food. I mean, I think often about how people in many parts of the world are starving, and, you know, it's just, yes, I'm very grateful. I guess I would just say I'm very grateful. Grateful that I have the skills to make delicious food, grateful that I have the resources to buy it, and grateful that I have the time. It's a luxury to be able to sit down and enjoy a meal.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You shared that you're being really intentional right now in your life. And I know you shared with me the monk manual, the planner, and I went ahead and got one and have been using it the last week and am loving it. So I want to ask you too about that and how gratitude, it sounds like you practice a lot of gratitude around food, which I know that you do, how that helps you. So how it helps you to be intentional and also practice gratitude in your life, what that does for you.
Oh gosh, I could talk for hours about the monk manual and how helpful it has been. But I'll just say, you know, when we moved to Montana in December. So in January, and then also, so our life has been crazy, so busy and so full of tasks to do at the house that I would just, at the end of the day, Scott loves to watch some program, some TV program. And I'm not really a TV person, but I would just do it because he liked it and stuff. But in that time, I would be eating bags of popcorn with him and an ice cream sandwich every single night for a couple of weeks. And I told that to our son, Joaquin. He goes, "Mom, that doesn't sound like you." And I said, "No, it wasn't me. I
don't know." Right. And
so I wrote in my monk manual, my theme, like where you have the date and the habit and the theme. My theme starting the first of the year was a healthy body and mind. And I just really like writing that down every single day. I have a healthy body and mind, because I thought, yeah, I don't want to be this person that's just eating junky food at night. I had just fallen into laziness about it because I was so tired. And, you know, Scott was having an ice cream sandwich and I thought, oh yeah, that looks good. I'll have one too. So it was unconscious. And so I just
yes.
thought, no, I want a healthy body and mind. So that has been my theme every single day, just about. Sometimes I'll have a different theme for the day, but that's what I write in my monk manual every single day, because that's what, it's a very high priority for me to have a healthy body and a healthy mind. And so I have to pay attention to what I'm putting into my body and what I'm putting into my mind.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And I love that you said, you write, "I have a healthy body and mind," instead of yeah. "I want to have."
Exactly. That is my theme. I have a healthy body and mind. And it's not some, you know, what do you call it, affirmations that is empty. No, this is full. This is really full. It's really, I'm grateful to have a healthy body and mind. I have a very healthy body and my mind is healthy. And so, yeah, that is a good point. It's not something that I'm striving for. It's something that I have. I'm just walking into it every day.
Yes. Yes.
There's just a lot of ways that you can use this. It's, as you know, because you've been using it, it's not a planner. It's much more than that. But, you know, you can, as when I talk about preparation, you know, that could be something where in the top section where it says prepare and priority, you know, that for some people that might be, you know, I'm going to prepare for this. I'm for this week or for this day, I'm going to have meals prepared, just so you can do things like that. So you're focused on it. And that's what I love about the monk manual, is that it so helps me focus on what is important for that day, for that week, for that month, for my life.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know if you know this, but along with being someone who really inspired me around food and having a healthy relationship with food and my body, you also are the person that I credit who taught me how to say no. So along the lines of using the monk manual and being intentional, can you tell me a little bit for you about how you say no and just about saying no to encourage other people to be able to say no?
Yeah. I have said this, people would say to me a lot, "Gosh, Linda, you do so much. Do you ever say no?" And I say, and Paige, I had probably said this, shared this with you. I say, yes, I love to say no. It's one of my favorite words, because I know that I'm able to do a lot, but I don't feel like I have to say yes to everything. And I don't want people to say to me yes when the answer is no. So I really feel like no is a real freedom word, because it frees you. There's this expression, when you say no to something, you are able to say yes to something that you really like or need or want. But if you just keep saying yes, yes, yes to everything, then all of those other things get pushed to the side. So I love saying no, because when it's biblical, you let your yeses be yeses and your noes no. When the answer, if I ask somebody to do something for me, I always say, you know, just, you know, think about this, and I don't want you to say yes if the answer is no. Please tell me no, because it's the truth. And there's such freedom in saying no. Like when I have to say no to something, I would just be very honest and say, I have to say no to this because of this. I just have to say no. And maybe I'll give a reason why, or maybe not. I just have to say no. It's a great it's a great thing to do. I, you know, value it for you or for, you know, I just think people feel guilty about saying no, but I feel like you can, it would be more, I think you could feel more guilt. I mean, I don't really, obviously we're not looking for guilty things, but you could feel more guilt for saying yes to something when the answer is no, because that's a lie. If you're saying yes, and the answer is no.
Yes, so good. So much freedom in that. I remember you gave me a challenge as you were mentoring me to say no. That was my challenge for the week. And then you called me the next day and left me a voicemail and asked me to help you with something and told me to say yes or no. And I was driving and I was like, oh my God, what do I do? I want to say yes, but am I supposed to say no?
Yeah, it's really good. It's being conscious of what you're saying yes and what you're saying no to. So if you're, you know, it's just being conscious of, you know, when somebody, and so I know I just said this, but it's true. If I ask somebody to do something for me, I let them know. I say, you know, I could use your help with this, or, you know, I really want to know this. But if the answer is no, please feel free to say no. That's okay.
Yes. And that so permission.
It's like a muscle, you know, you have to, if you've spent your whole life feeling like you have to say yes to everything and no is going to hurt someone's feelings or something crazy like that, you just have to use that muscle and just with love, you know, you can just say it very graciously. You don't have to cop an attitude and go, no, you say, no, that's not going to work for this time right now or whatever.
Yes. Right. Have you always been good at saying no, or did you have a point in your life where you really had to practice learning that?
No, I don't know the answer to that. I'm a little bit willful and headstrong, so I don't feel like this was one of my bigger challenges. I don't know how I became so in love with saying no when it was appropriate. Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know of when that. I think maybe it could have been like in the church when people would be saying yes to so many things. And I was asked to do a lot of things and I knew I had to, you know, make a choice. What am I going to say yes to? And am I going to say no to? So I think it was sometime around there as an adult, not as a young person. I think it's sometime I would be pretty sure that it happened within the church when there were so many needs and, I had to decide what to say yes to and what to say no to.
Yes. So if there's someone listening who is feeling really overrun or overwhelmed because she's having a hard time saying no, is there any type of challenge that you would give to her to practice starting to say no?
Well, you know, I think maybe we could play act this. Why don't you just give me a scenario where you're asking... you're being asked something and you really feel like you want to say no, but you feel guilty and you want to say yes. Is there something that you can think of where a situation where this happens?
Okay, this is not like a current real life scenario, but I want to use it because it's when I feel most challenged. So let's say somebody, one of my friends who I love and care for and care about helping, asked me to help them move. Like help them move their house, pack up and pack everything. And so I'm tempted to say yes, because for me, maybe I feel guilty saying no, because what if they don't have anyone else? Like I should be wanting to help them. But what if my energy is I'm already really overwhelmed and I just need to stay home and be with my family?
Okay, so ask me the question. So you ask me and I'm going to be you.
Okay, perfect. We have so much stuff to move before our move to Arizona comes up. Can you please come and help us move on Saturday?
I'm going to have to talk to my husband and sort of look at what we are going to be doing this weekend. You know, I really love it when people help each other move. I think it's really an important community thing to have people help one another when they're moving, because it's such an overwhelming task. And so in that way, I want to say, yes, I'd like to help you. But I can't just answer right now because I have to look to see what's going on this weekend. And I will just be honest with you and say, well, we have had so much going on ourselves. You know, we have this project, that, and family coming or whatever. And I want to say yes because I want to help you, but I can't say yes right now. I'll check with my husband and I will get back to you. And I just will tell you that it's not looking really good right now. As much as I want to do this, I feel like I might not be able to give that time.
Yes. Oh, great. I love that because you acknowledged you acknowledged everything. You acknowledged, I want to do this because of this. This is why I want to say yes, but I also know that I need to say no right now.
And, you know, if somebody said that to you, wouldn't you feel like, gosh, that's exactly what I wanted. I mean, yes, I want you to help me, but I don't want you to help me if you're going to be resentful about it.
Yes. And the last thing that I would want is someone coming to help me move and thinking the whole time, gosh, I wish I didn't have to do this. I really need to be home resting. Right? I only want them to say yes if they're going to feel good about it.
Yeah. And so that's a really important thing, you know, because you don't want somebody to say yes to you when the answer is no. And so I know that about myself. And so I honor that in other people. I don't think people really want us to say yes when the answer is no. And so there's a way to handle it in a loving way, and you don't have to feel bad about it at all. Yeah. Like maybe even saying, gosh, have you checked with Lori? Maybe give other suggestions or something. I don't know. But anyway, the point that we're talking about here is that if you don't have the bandwidth, if you don't have the ability to say yes, that's really okay. You're not meant to say yes to everything. Mm.
Yes. Yes. So helpful. So at the beginning, when we started chatting, the sound was a little bit off, but you were talking about how you have done some traveling outside of the US and how inspired you were by the way that you saw people eating. I think you said like in France and Italy. Could you share that again now so we can hear you and hear how inspiring that was for you to travel and be inspired around food?
Yes, it really made a huge impact in my life around food and the choices that I was making. Yes, I got to spend time in France and in Italy, a good amount of time of it in Italy. I think I made 9 different trips. And I went to visit a family in Provence and stayed there for a couple of weeks. And so I really got to see how they lived and were around food. And I was so inspired that first, I didn't see any snacking. People just don't snack. I don't know if it's how it is now, but at that time, people didn't snack, so they weren't eating all day long. So when it came time to eat a meal, they were really hungry and they really enjoyed it. And so I just brought that home and said, I'm not going to be a snacker because usually most snacking anyway can be really empty food. And so it's not really valuing your body anyway. So I thought, well, I'm going to just not snack. I just want to eat meals and so that I can enjoy them. And pretty much I just saw that in France and in Italy. So, and the way that people really enjoyed food, I was very impressed by that. It was so contrasted by how our culture is around food. Everyone's just like eating so fast so they can do the next thing. And people, when they sit down to eat, like in Provence, it was kind of cool. It was in fall, but we would eat outside al fresco. And it was just, I thought, gosh, in America, people wouldn't be doing this. They go, no, it's too cold. But it was just part of the experience to be able to eat outside and just enjoy the outside and enjoy the food. So there was so much enjoyment around food, which I was already raised with a lot of enjoyment around food, but this just put it on a whole nother level. And it's just something that I brought home for our family.
I love that. And when did you fall in love with cooking so much that you began teaching cooking and cooking classes?
Well, I've always loved cooking. My mom would cook a lot, and I'm one of 5 children, and all of us are good cooks, but I was the one that just wanted to be in the kitchen all the time. And so I have always cooked and enjoyed it. And I was asked to work at a bakery in Ventura, And she asked if I would come and help out in this bakery. It's not there anymore, but it was just a really fun bakery. And then she asked if I would teach cooking class, pie making classes, which I loved. I thought it was the funnest thing ever to teach people how to make pies, because I would say, this world would be such a better place if everybody made pies. So it was great because it was kind of near the hospital in Ventura, and doctors would come, all kinds of people would come, and everybody made a pie in the class and would leave with a pie. And it was just, I still have these images in my mind of people standing there with this pie that they made. And so then from there, I just started teaching at a cooking school in Santa Barbara. And then my friend said, would you teach us cooking classes? And so I had a kitchen that we had not designed for cooking classes, but it could not have been designed better for cooking classes. So I started doing the classes out of our home and was passionately in love with it. I loved teaching people how to cook and enjoy food and enjoy the preparation of food.
So, so, so fun. How long did you do that for?
Altogether, probably about 12 years.
Okay. But I know to this day, you still teach people and get them in the kitchen with you.
Oh yeah. Any chance I get.
That's so fun.
And I was doing this here with the teenage girls that are helping, and I wasn't even conscious that I was bringing them in to, it wasn't like a conscious decision. Oh, I'm going to have Brinley come in the kitchen with me. I just needed this help. We were washing lettuce and I had a lot of it because I've been cooking for a lot of people. And so I just asked her to wash lettuce with me and wrap it for, you know, we were doing it for over an hour, and it was just something she had never, ever done before. And so I thought, I just had that feeling like, oh, this is such a good thing for her to learn. And she was very grateful. She said, oh, I'm going to teach my mom how to do this.
Oh, I love that. That is so great. She can take it home then. So to this, I feel like you are also very good at asking for help and not afraid to ask for help. Can you speak to that a little bit, your own mentality around asking for help?
Well, I guess it's sort of the same thing with, I'm not afraid if people say no, they don't want to help or whatever. But, you know, we have a 5-bedroom home here in Montana. And because we felt like it was such a gift from God, we have been inviting people to come and stay. And so we have had nonstop people staying here, and they just love being here. And we love having them. But at some point I just said, well, this is just too much. And so I asked people, visitors, if they are staying for more than 3 days, we have a family meeting. I let them know. I ask them what they need and want from their time here. And I let them know what I need and want from their time here. And one of the things I need and want is for them to take one dinner that they take charge of, and they can order Mexican food or something, or they can prepare food. But when they do, if they're going to prepare food in the kitchen, I let them know that I will not be in the kitchen because I don't want to be overseeing their cooking, and I want to break from it. So, you know, I just feel fine asking people, and most people, they're just fine with that. You know, I think people want to help, and if people are uncomfortable cooking, and I tell them, I go, you know, I know people say all the time, I can't cook for Linda Hill. She's too good of a cook. I go, no. I love cooking for people, but I want to tell you, honestly, I am so touched when people cook for me. I am so grateful. So I'm not going to be evaluating your preparation or any of it. I'm just going to be grateful that I'm getting cooked for.
I love that perspective. Oh, so great. And I think we would all benefit from doing that when people come to visit, especially for a few days or a week at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's easy to ask people to do things because if they, because I tell people, you know, you can ask me anything, and this is on any topic. I'll say, you can ask me anything. I will never be offended by your question. But if it's something that I don't want to answer, like if it's a personal question or something I don't want to talk about right now, I'll just let you know. But you can ask me anything.
Yes. So good. So I'm not sure if you remember this, but I remember it was early on when I first met you, and we were doing a pizza night
at your house and we were making homemade pizzas and it was so fun. We had all these people in the kitchen. Everyone had their own dough and was doing their own toppings and we were using your pizza oven out in the backyard and I just loved it. But you shared with me, and I might not say the words exactly right, but what I remember from it is that you shared with me, if someone is there with you or around you who you know is struggling with food, so for example, they won't let themselves eat pizza, you will intentionally make something like that, or you will eat that food because you know that person is there, so you can show them that it's safe and okay to eat. Do you remember that? Is that something that you consciously do, and can you speak to that?
I don't remember that exactly, that kind of thing, you know, that I would intentionally make something that I felt like people were afraid of. Maybe I just talk about the freedom of, around food, you know, and live the freedom around food. So I don't remember exactly that. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, we're all living by example. We're all teaching people things, whether they're, it's intentional or not, but because this food neurosis had become so heightened, any chance I would get that around people that I cared about and I could show them, you know, to be break free from it, I wanted to take that opportunity.
Yes, yes, yes. We're all living by example all the time. That is so true. For you, if you have a time, like you were talking about when Scott was watching TV and you were having the bags of popcorn and ice cream sandwiches, or you're just feeling, let's just say, like out of alignment with your health or slowing down or consciousness or whatever you want to call it, what do you do to realign yourself with your values instead of going to I'll use the word you said, neurotic place with food?
Well, one, I want to stress that I am not so rigid with food. I do really like healthy food and I don't like junk food. I just won't eat junk food. I would rather, I've said this for years, I would rather not eat anything than eat junky food. And so I don't consider an ice cream sandwich healthy food, but I don't consider it just highly junk food. When I talk about junk food, I'm talking about, you know, drive-through food and, you know, stuff like that. I just, or, you know, highly prepared food that you buy in the grocery store or something. I don't know. So I want to stress also that I do have freedom around. I'm not a person that's so rigid that you can't eat any junk food around me or that I will just, you know, just freak out around junk food. It's just a choice that I make for myself that it's just not appealing to me. But so if I am needing to self-correct like I was in January because during COVID, I had gained weight and, you know, I don't weigh myself. So I'm guessing around 8 or 10 pounds in between the COVID, not being able to exercise rightly and also eating ice cream sandwiches every night. so I just used this to self-correct. I just said, oh no, I don't want to go down this road any longer. I need to self-correct. And so I used my monk manual, but also just my choices. I just thought, at that time, I thought, well, I'm going to be doing a 14-hour fast every day. That will help me just to kind of self-correct. And if I'm doing a 14-hour fast every day, I'm not eating after dinner and, you know, 14 to 16-hour fast every day, which I actually really like. It really works well for me. So I just find a way to self-correct without getting, and I am aware of not being really crazy and neurotic around it because I could fall into that. So I'm just healthy body and mind. I want to have a healthy body and mind around the choices and the way that I live.
Yes. So a question that I get from a lot of women actually is around if they want to be intuitive and just calm around food, not neurotic about it, but also there's something intentional that they do. Let's use fasting, for example. Like they will say, but I also know that I feel really good when I do a 14-hour fast, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to be neurotic. I want to be calm. And they're kind of stuck between, okay, I want to be totally calm and have no rules or structure or anything like that. But I also know that, for example, fasting leaves me feeling really good. how do you approach something like fasting and still feel so calm about it? You don't get into the place where you're so in your head about it. I like to say, like, when we go into drama in our heads, you don't do that about the fasting.
No, because I feel like, one, it's a real luxury to be able to fast. There's people in this world who don't have enough food. I get to choose if I'm going to eat or if I'm not going to eat, and I'm doing it for health reasons. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel because also I know that I'm in a different place because I'm older and I wasn't raised with so much neuroses around food. But I think it's just seeing it as a freedom. And also, mm-hmm. I have to say, forget about what we're going to say about it. I have been fasting for over 40 years in different ways, in different times. I actually love to fast because it makes me feel so good. So this is something that I'm doing for myself. And I don't talk about it because I don't want people, I mean, if people will ask me, I'll talk about it, but I don't bring it up because I don't want people to say, oh, well, you know, do you know that fasting is really bad for you and you could do this? I just don't need that. And so I'll just, it's a gift I'm giving myself for my own health and body. So I don't have a lot of stuff around it. I just feel like it's a real, it's like a gift that I get to do for my body. I'm telling you, my body loves it because it just goes, I get a little break from digesting food all the time.
I'm smiling, like beaming. This is why you inspire me so much, because you so pay attention to what feels good for you and don't worry so much about what the outside world would say or think.
I think that's very important around all of these issues because, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine and I told her that I do, we weren't even talking about body image or anything like that, but I just told her that I was doing, you know, these fasts, I go 14 to ideally 16, but you know, sometimes it's 14 hours. So she says, well, I couldn't do that, you know, because I get so hungry. And of course, yeah, you do get hungry, but your body does adjust. And so, so it's okay, you know, it's not like I won't have a conversation about it, but I don't want to have a lot of discussion about it. If it doesn't work for somebody down the street, that's okay. It works for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody because we're all so different. So this is just something that works for me, but I don't get in my head about it at all. It's just something that I get to do, really. It feels like a privilege and a luxury to be able to do it with my body. Really, really likes it.
Is there anything intentional that you focus on while you're fasting, or do you just fast and go about normal life?
Well, lately here, it has just been fasting and going about normal life, but I've done, you know, fasting, spiritual fasts, you know, fasting for a particular cause or something that I'm trying to break through. But so yeah, because I have been doing fasting for so many years. Well, the first fast I ever did, my oldest son is 43, and the first fast that I did was after I gave birth to him, because I thought, I want my body back. This has been the pregnancy body, and now I'm ready to, he nursed for 9 months, so after the 9 month nursing period, I decided I was going to go fast. And so I did a 30-day juice fast. And I did, again, I didn't talk about it with other people because at that time, two people go, oh, do you know fasting's really bad for you? You could pass out or, you know. But so when I am fasting, I don't exercise as hard as I normally do. A fast like that, I wouldn't exercise as hard as I normally do. I would take baths often because it just felt good. I would, you know, have more time to have quiet time. And so I've done more spiritual fasts, but what I have been doing here since January or February, these 14 to 16 hour fasts, you know, it's just a decision not to have anything after dinner. And then just have, I make lunch every day at around noon, and we have dinner every night around 6, and I'm often cooking for anywhere from just Scott and I to 12 people, because there's always visitors and workers at the house, and I make a meal for us.
So good. I just love and want to emphasize And I also appreciate you for your example that just everything that you do seems so aligned to who you are, like so in integrity with who you are and who you want to be. Well, one more thing that I wanted to ask you about along the lines of everything that you do is so in integrity with who you want to be and who you are is that I've always admired how you seem to make everything around you so special. So we talked about like the way you make your plate look beautiful, but also the way you set the table or the way you dress or your home decor, having art in the house. Everything around you to me just oozes joy and creativity and feels so very personal, like you, and it feels so homey and comforting to be around. So I just wondered if you could speak to that a little bit. Do you consciously do that? Was there a time where you started being more intentional about that? Or have you always been that way to just have everything around you feels very your own?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, my mom had a very nice sense of style, and so I was raised around it. It wasn't exceptional in any way, but she was stylish in the way that she dressed, and our homes were comfortable and stylish, and it wasn't over the top. And I think this is one of the things, if you really are impacted by that, and if anybody else is, it's because I do these things to feel comfortable and bring joy, enjoyment to myself as well as others. I don't do it to impress people. So I think maybe that's where sometimes it gets confusing, where you have to have this house that's so put together that everyone's going to walk in and go, oh my gosh. But I don't do things. I don't dress for other people. I do like to dress nicely. I love clothes. I do like to dress nicely and pay attention to the way that I look and dress and pay attention to the way our home looks, pay attention to the music that's playing in the house and all the details. They mean a lot to me, but I don't do it to impress anybody. I just do it for their enjoyment and our enjoyment. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes so much sense. And that's exactly how you feel when you walk into your home. You guys would have music playing, lots of books around. Everything felt like it was like you lived there. Like it was just very special and comforting, and like it did definitely bring joy. How would you say you like to feel in your own home?
I want to feel really comfortable in my own home. So both Scott and I are very visual, and so the visual part of our home is important to us. But we're not neurotic about it, so we don't do things so it's going to be some kind of showcase. We do things because we want it to be comfortable for us. And so, you know, whether I'm here by myself or if there's a house full of, there's a party going on, I will have music that's playing that's something that's enjoyable to me. And, you know, create a nice atmosphere in the home. I'm very aware of how music, the atmosphere of how music is. And so, and sometimes there's no music, but, you know, so it's just a detail that I like. And so, and I don't do it to impress people. I know I keep saying that, but I think it's an important part because especially with the social media today, people are so, you know, Instagramming everything, hoping that everybody's going to go, wow, they look amazing or whatever. So yes. I've never done any social media. It doesn't appeal to me. So I do this for Scott and I and our family, and I know other people enjoy it too, which brings me joy. But it's not to impress anybody. It's to create comfort and joy.
Yes, that is such a freeing approach. And you're so right. With social media, that becomes so much more of a challenge. But I'm sure even just for me, hearing that brings me comfort. So thank you for sharing that. So I'm not sure if you remember this, but I came to visit you once while you were living in San Francisco. And on that trip, you did something that really changed my confidence in my career forever. So I remember we were walking around, meeting tons of people through your church, and I was making so many connections. And every time someone would ask me, "What do you do?" I would say, well, I'm a babysitter. I babysit for tons of families in Ventura. Oh, and I do some health coaching on the side. And I remember you stopped me while we were on a walk one day and said, you know, Paige, I really want to challenge you for the rest of this trip. When someone asks what you do, just talk about health coaching and see what happens. And that terrified me, but I did it. And that was the last time that I ever told anyone that I was a babysitter. I worked through all that discomfort, and I remember standing in your kitchen the first time someone, after you gave me that challenge, the first time someone said, what do you do? And I said, health coaching. And all I did, and I actually think you told me this, I said, I'm a health coach. And then I just waited for them to ask me what it was. And then I kind of fumbled my way through explaining it. But the more that I did that, I got so much more confident saying that and owning it. And it was such a good lesson for me. So my question to you is, do you remember that moment, and can you speak to what went through your heart and mind that had you challenge me in that way?
Yeah, I remember this really well, because that was also really fun for me, because I did really feel like I was encouraging you to step into the next step. And I remember saying to you, you know, Paige, babysitting is very honorable work. There's nothing wrong with babysitting. It's just, it really is honorable work. But you're starting a coaching business, and I know it's just a seed and it's just budding. So I want to help you, when people ask you what it is, to just step into it and just talk about what you do. And the more you talk about it, the more you will know what it is, and the more they'll know what it is, and the more it will, the bud will grow and blossom. So I remember just us being on the 22 bus, the little Muni bus, and I just turned to you and go, oh, hi, my name's Linda. And you'd say, hi, I'm Paige. You go, oh, well, what do you do? And you say, I'm a health coach. You go, oh, what is a health coach? Remember, I would just stop you randomly.
Oh my gosh, yes, I do remember that. I did not remember that part until you just brought it up. I was probably mortified, and it was so good for me.
That's what I wanted you to do. I just wanted to encourage you to step into it, just so you could know, because the more you said it, the more you would affirm what you were doing, because you were, you know, sincerely wanting to start a new business. And I knew you would be good at it. And I knew it was just fledgling along, because it was just getting started. So I just wanted to encourage you to just step into it. And the more you talked about it with others, the more you would build your confidence in
it. It built my confidence so much. I remember leaving that trip and just knowing, like, wow, I don't have to talk about babysitting anymore. And of course, it's like, I loved babysitting, but the reason behind me talking about it was because I knew what I was doing with babysitting. I had been doing it so long. I knew that families trusted me. They liked the way that I watched their kids. So I felt very confident and proud of it. But with health coaching, I was like, I'm still figuring this out. I don't even know who I want to help yet. So how do I explain this to people? Plus, at that time, which is so wild, that was 10 years ago, nobody really knew what a health coach was. So every time I said I was a health coach, someone would go, huh? What's that? Like a soccer coach? Like that kind of thing. And so it felt so scary for me at the time to explain what it was, but it was, oh, that was just one of the best challenges.
I remember just turning to you like, I don't know, we just go, oh, what do you do?
Yes.
Oh, what is a health coach?
So good. I'm so grateful for that. Okay, well, a few fun, shorter questions as we wrap up. Do you still have a daily cappuccino?
I do. I have a quiet time in every morning before I even open my eyes. I spend that time with the Lord in prayer. I like to talk to him and have him ask him to talk to his daughter. So I have a very, quiet time in the morning, and then I have a devotional that I read, and if I'm in a Bible study, maybe I'll do some of my Bible study, but most, I have a quiet devotional time. But when I am then ready to bring in the outside world, I put on some music, and Scott knows, oh, she's ready for her cappuccino, and he brings me a cappuccino and a kiss.
Oh my gosh, I just love it. Oh, That is the best. Okay, so my next question was going to be, how do you start each morning? But that shares with us. You are someone who I feel impacts so many people by living your example and just being true to you. I see you as someone who leaves an imprint wherever you go, and it's so inspiring to me. And so I'm just wondering if you have any words to share about how we can approach life. I want to say with more of that attitude. I know it's not an attitude, but just how we can approach life with that mentality of knowing that we are being an example wherever we go.
We are. I think we do need to know that. I mean, if we have children, we definitely are imprinting them. Whoever comes into our orbit, we have the opportunity to. So I think one is having a lot of gratitude, like you mentioned earlier, like I will mention often is impactful. So when people have an attitude where they're grateful rather than grumpy, that impacts people a lot. And I think it hopefully is catching. I don't know. Is that answering your question?
Yeah, I think it does. Just having that attitude of gratitude, not grumpy. I love that. And just knowing that we are being an example.
We are. And you know, something else that I do, I think that feeds into this in a kind of a subtle way is, something that I have been thinking about a lot lately is how we have the opportunity, and really, Paige, this is our relationship, is that you found something in our relationship that was going to be fulfilling some needs that you had. Some, you know, I was able to impact you or teach you different things, and you were like a sponge with it. And I'm very grateful for that, because that's not always the case. Sometimes people feel like they can get everything from the internet and it, you know, or a YouTube video or something, or social media. And I just want to encourage people to really take advantage of the people, the elders, let's just call them the elders that are around you, because there's so much gold there. There's so much richness there for you if you are receptive to it. So I think it's really important. Like I wouldn't teach cook, you know, I've never written a cookbook, although I kind of wish I had in some ways, because then it would be all my favorite recipes. But there's just so much that you can learn, just like the things that you said when you and I spent time together. You can't get that in a video. You can't get that on the page of a recipe. So just to in all aspects of life, to really take an opportunity to learn from the people that are around you who have been around a little bit longer. There's so much to learn from them.
Yes, and ask them questions, and I can just testify that learning from people in my life is so much more impactful and meaningful than just, for example, reading a blog post about it and getting 5 tips. It's so different when it's coming from someone you know and love and trust.
And so we do, and it's unfortunate if we do have those opportunities that we don't take advantage of them. Like I will tell people, in San Francisco, we had this landlady, our Italian landlady that lived above us, and she had a very interesting life. And I said to her granddaughter, I said, you know, I know your grandmother is difficult, but really take the time to spend with her, because in ask her questions, because she has some really interesting things to teach you. And when she's gone, they're going to be gone too. And so, and she, her grandmother was 88. And I just, you know, it's just really unfortunate, because I would give anything to be with my Irish immigrant grandmother and spend some time with her and ask her questions, but she's gone. And at the time when I was young, of course, I had way more important things, but I just think it's a very lost art and a lost opportunity when we don't take advantage of the elders around us.
Oh, yes, such good encouragement. Ah, well, thank you so, so much. I'm so excited that we got to have this conversation and that I get to share you with people in my life who maybe don't know you, but know that you've been such an inspiration to me, such a meaningful inspiration to me. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and just share this with others too.
Well, thank you, Paige. And it's really been fun for me to just kind of reflect on this, and it's been fun. So it's been a joy for me as well.
Oh, well, thank you so, so much, Linda.
Wasn't that such a great episode? I know that many of you listening might not know Linda personally like I do, but I hope that you can hear the alignment with herself and her own values in her voice, the calmness, and I am sure all of you are ooing and aahing over the morning cappuccino from Scott when she turns on her music in the morning. Such a fun episode all about just being true to yourself, healthy habits that feel good for you, being calm around food. I hope everybody leaves this episode a little bit more empowered to do your own thing. Focus on what works for you. Do what feels good for you. Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you'll come and share some love over on Instagram. Send me a message about how much you loved the episode, and I'll be sure to share those messages with Linda. Thank you all so much for listening. Who is your coach? If you don't have one and you're loving this podcast, I'd love to be yours. If you are ready to take what you're learning on this podcast to the next level and apply it to your life, come join me in Aligned Coaching. Highly personalized, hands-on coaching with me, where we will address your challenges, work toward your goals, and you will have a safe space to grow into the you you want to become. You will have weekly group coaching calls with me, 24/7 access to written coaching where you can submit a question directly to me and get a response at any time, and Zoom video hangouts to connect with other women in the community so you can learn from them and super speed your growth. Not only that, but you will also get fresh, new audio content uploaded each and every week, only to be found in Aligned Coaching. Ready to grow into the highest level of yourself and experience freedom like never before? Come join us at paigeschmidt.com/coaching. I'll see you there.